Assemble the brain trust. The geniuses are here. It's everything to genius. Gary, I don't want to do this one.
No?
I don't want to do this. I don't think this is a... It sounded like a good idea when you pitched it, but now I don't think it's... I don't know if I'm good at it.
Well, let's find out. And also, you know, you can strive to be unto the geniuses. And even if you miss, you'll land among the stars.
That's really true and really good. And even if you don't land in the stars, sometimes I hit London.
Yes. Sometimes you hit France. Sometimes you hit my underpants.
I would love to hit your underpants.
Hell
with
yeah.
A bulbit. Gary, it's...
With a bulbit?
Yeah.
What's a bulbit?
It's a cuter bullet.
Aw.
It's a bullet someone's put a little
Bill.
Smiley face. Oh my
it's
God.
It's Bulbit Billy.
Someone should tell Tarantino about this idea of a murderer who puts little smiley faces on his bullets. And they all miss because he like carved a smiley face into it and it fucks with the ballistics.
Yeah. And it's his one signature scene. And then Samuel Jackson comes and calls him the N-word.
It's fun to imagine Samuel L. Jackson coming.
One must.
Do you think he's expressive?
Yo. Well, you know what? I went a real roller coaster right there because
yeah.
I was ready to answer affirmatively very strongly.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, it's like he goes full Black Snake Moan. But then in my head, I thought, what if he just keeps his face perfectly still? And that is very easy to picture.
What if he keeps his face perfectly still, but he does say, all right.
Yeah. Okay. Like at this point, that man has come so often that it's not that great to him anymore. He's sick of it.
That is how the old tend to be.
Yeah. Eventually you've come all the comes that can come. Ozymandias. I've come all the comes that can come.
You have felt the limits of orgasm and you've realized it can't actually cause happiness. It can only cause distraction from misery.
That's how you become a Cenobite. As you seek more and more extreme orgasms until eventually you've got fish hooks through your balls.
I want a Cenobite your butt.
I want a Cenobite your underpants. I want a Cenobite France. I want a Cenobite everything to genius.
So
the only podcast.
The only podcast where through an extremely rickety process, I randomized the songs on the website Genius, of which mm-hmm. there are millions. And which does not have a random song function, because why would it?
That really should. It really should.
For who besides this?
Because for people who like to browse from their betters. You know, it's a way to learn. I feel, in a Socratic sense, the way that I get smarter is by talking to geniuses and reading their words. And when you want a set of geniuses, I don't think there's a better place to go to than genius.com. Similar to like when you want to order from Home Depot, there's not a better place than homedepot.com.
That is a really good point. Gary, are you going to get mad at me if I say that you sometimes have what some people might call a chip on their shoulder about people setting themselves up as though they're smarter than you?
No, okay. I'm not going to get mad.
Okay.
But I do think it's a chip everyone should have on their shoulder.
Okay.
I think I'm the normal one and the people who aren't irritated by that are the freaks.
Okay.
That's like a double chip. I've got a chip on my chip.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's one of the premium Haagen-Dazs.
But don't you read these words, these interpretations, and then the fact that it's like, oh man, five geniuses have contributed to this. That doesn't do anything to you?
It really doesn't
bother you just from a misuse of word sense? Like an angle of just like, that's not what that word means.
No, because I understand that it was rap genius, and then they were like, oh, we don't want to do just rap, let's shorten it.
That really is orthogonal to what I'm talking about. Like, that doesn't really change it.
But that word has no valence to me. I don't care about the word genius. It doesn't mean anything to me. As one, it really becomes commonplace.
Words just mean something to me generally, and that might just be the difference between the two of us.
They mean things to you in an emotion way.
They mean, and in a what they mean way. It's an emotion way and what the definition is. It's an emotion and definition way.
But I don't think... I don't think anyone writing these thinks I'm a genius when they write them.
I don't know. We hopefully we'll find that out by doing this podcast, because if they are, I don't know. It's just very funny to me to the idea of consulting the genius and getting these kind of insights.
It is. No, that is very funny. That is extremely funny. That's the difference is the mild undercurrent of anger that girds your amusement
disgust.
Versus mine. Yeah.
Disgust. Yeah, yep. Not anger. Disgust.
Okay.
You ascribe anger to me a lot of times when really it's disgust.
Yeah, I guess I don't. There's another one where I don't really know the difference that much. But
you should feel disgust more. It fucking owns.
You say that so often. That is the thing you say so often.
I feel disgust a lot.
I know. I know, man.
I spend a lot of time walking around looking at people and the internet and being disgusted. It's disgusting.
You've been back on Blue Sky lately.
Yep. It's disgusting.
I would argue that your feed is 15% video game commentary.
Mm-hmm.
15% silly little jokes.
Okay.
70% disgust at the ways other people are choosing to think or feel.
I bet you it's closer to 50% that.
Okay.
It's still more than it should be, but I bet you it's like closer to 50.
Sure.
I'm only human. Intrusive thoughts come out, and nobody wants to hear about this shit in real life. I would like to just talk to people and be like, hey, doesn't it suck that people do this? And just have anyone in the world be like, yeah. But sometimes those people aren't around, so I have to do it on the internet so one person can favor it and be like, that person gets it. And then I don't feel like dying.
Yeah.
I feel slightly better because somebody else understands.
Yeah. You know? 1 second. Let me just go check my Gary Butterfield G-chat messages. Just scroll through them. Yeah, tracks.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. Like, I don't want to just keep doing that to you, but the last couple of times we talked, I have. You should be thankful I have Blue Sky, because then, or that I'm like, you know, back on it a little bit more. So I'm not constantly deluging you with, doesn't it suck that people are like this?
Yeah, I don't even want to say the last thing that you were deluging me about, because it was about a respected game creator.
Yeah, it's just, it's what happens, you know? I got to get this stuff out. I sometimes, one of the things that I enjoy genius.com for is feeling less alone in the world, because I get to see other people look at words like she a down chick, she bounced my checks, and they think it means the same thing I did.
Yeah, it's really a beautiful communal experience. So by the way, Gary, please keep sending me those messages. I enjoy those conversations. They make me think about life.
Good. I aim to make people think. I aim to educate. I aim to educate me, son.
Scholastic Popeye.
Oh. Spinach.
Popeye Gaji? Is that anything, Gary?
Popeye Gaji. Oh, yeah, there's something there.
It's Papa almost. Gaji? It's for being nothing, being absolutely fucking nothing.
Yeah.
There might be something there.
Yeah, maybe it's the something of nothings.
So this is a show, obviously, where I have done my best to randomize genius by basically, I started by trying to take a random number generator. I tried to figure out what the range on all the song IDs was, and then, which is like 1 to 10 million, and tried to like use that to get random ones. But there's a lot of things on Genius that do not have any annotations, and sometimes don't even have the lyrics. Someone just made a song ID thing for it, so
which is not a genius move.
No,
I don't really understand the point of that. The idea of somebody coming along, like somebody will figure this fucking song out for me. In fact, somebody will even transcribe the lyrics if I do this.
Would the website make you less angry if we called it Genies?
Disgusted. Yes. It would make me way less if these were the music genies or the rap genies.
Yeah.
AKA Will Smith.
That is true. So I'll be honest, Gary, when that utterly, that got us this song. The first song we're talking about here is She Don't Care Remix by Dumbfounded featuring No Kando and Intuition.
Yep. And boy, does it.
And this is a genuinely good example. These are bad lyrics with worse annotations. This is what I was hoping for every time when I hit the random button, right?
Well, I would say, other than the third thing we're going to do,
Yeah.
There is absolutely no subtext or non-direct lyric happening.
Yeah.
In any of these things, especially our surprise fourth song, which I'm very excited about.
I'm very excited. So then I typed, I was like, this is not working because I got everything. I got like Robert Frost poems that no one had annotated the poem for.
Well, because they're too new. Like, unlike Dumbfounded, the geniuses haven't had as much time to work with Robert Frost.
So then I was like, I'm going to throw a random word into the lyric search and then randomize the top.
You know what? Great minds. Like, because when I was thinking about how I would do this, that's what I would thought I would do.
Yeah, I did dogs. I did dogs.
Okay.
And that's how I got the next two. And then I'll straight up tell you, the fourth one we're doing today, I just saw it in that list. And I was like, well, we're doing that.
Yeah, it's undeniable. So everyone, I want to build it up too much, but stay till the end of the podcast.
I just noticed.
It's usually shut off by now.
Don't. Yeah, usually people are tipping. I just noticed that this rapper who I've never heard of, I assume it's a rapper.
He raps.
His name is not just Dumbfounded, but Dumbfounded.
Yeah.
Dumbfounded. And then E-A-D, dead.
Yeah, like Right Said Fred or Weird Ed. One of those kind of things. And there's a lot we can get into. I listened to this. We had a discussion about that in the green room.
I feel like that is
whether you think that's okay.
I feel like that is an absolute violation of the premise of the show to allow music into this lyric discussion, lyric annotation discussion podcast.
A violation to let music into anything.
It's irritating.
I had to let music in. It doesn't irritate me. I had to go post about how it's not irritating. It doesn't disgust me. I will say, even without listening to it, though, there's a lot you can learn from this. Looking at this cover of this remix, what would you say Dumbfounded is Dumbfounded, the expression on this guy's face is?
Oh, he's bemused. That's bemusement at the fact that he is surrounded by this crew of knockoff gorillas.
Yeah, knockoff gorillas and homies dolls.
Yeah, like, that just is kind of that is right at the intersection of a homies doll and a gorillas,
and the gorillas
for sure.
And everybody, if you're not familiar with this rapper, I wasn't. Get this, he's Asian. You would not expect.
What the fuck does that mean, dude?
It means you would not expect him at the intersection of the gorillas and homies dolls. I don't know a whole lot of Asian rappers in terms of like. The ethnicities? I feel like I know the fewest Asian rappers. I feel like I know more white dude rappers than Asian rappers.
Okay.
Name another Asian rapper.
I don't care to. I'm still back at, get this, he's Asian.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's my point. I know a lot of Asian rappers. And I don't know a lot of them that are into the gorillas homies aesthetic as an artistic, like, face, as a persona. I'm not saying there aren't any. I'm saying it's not tons of. There's not a whole lot of them. It's not a music archetype.
Gary, I'm just going to go ahead and say that you and I are not equipped to have a conversation about race.
We are equipped to have a conversation about rap.
Sure. That's the other thing is Genius has a lot of rap on it.
It's, you know, probably due to its origins as Rap Genius.
Yeah.
But also due to rap's origins as the foundation of popular music right now, you know, in terms of rap and rap adjacent things being what is in the mainstream in terms of production, stuff like that. Out of this, two of these are actually rap songs, and arguably the fourth one is also a little bit of a spoken word rap song.
I've just looked at Dumbfounded's Wikipedia page, which is also a violation of the code of this. Did you know that he's known for his witty and socially conscious lyrics?
Not based on this, I didn't.
That's got three different citations in the Wikipedia page.
I found it. Why doesn't Wikipedia bother me? They're definitely saying things with more authority than the geniuses. They just don't call themselves a genius.
Yeah. No, it does seem like the nomenclature is the problem.
The nomenclature
is the
problem.
Oh, shit, Gary, he is Asian.
Yeah, check it out. give him a look. So this song is called She Don't Care, and it's a remix. And the geniuses helpfully tell us that since it's being a remix, it covers the themes of the original song. They're nearly identical to the original.
Yeah.
Nearly. So
I would go so far as to say we're not allowed to really talk about lyrics that aren't annotated.
Okay. That's interesting because my favorite lyric of this is not annotated.
Well, just say it, then talk about it and just violate. Just violate, well, dude.
I guess we are just violating because you violated the Wikipedia thing. This is a song about how the three rappers on this, their women like them even though they're broke.
And suck, generally, I think.
Yes.
They generally are not good guys, I would say.
It is the idea, this is we want scrubs. As comparison in conversation, well, we don't want no scrubs. According to the about section, more accurately, the song is an anthem for women that are unconcerned with the size of a man's wallet. But there's a line at the end of the first verse where Dumb Founded is doing.
Yeah, that is a good line, and I'm glad that we're violating.
It's kind of incredible. Yeah, like he talks about all this stuff. You know, he doesn't have money. She's into it. Her friends tell her to leave him because he doesn't have money, but she doesn't want to because she likes him. You know,
there's a line. Can we, before we get to the really good line, can I mention where I'm really turning against Dumbfounded is, mm-hmm. and I keep it low pro so the homies don't laugh. They clowning Dumbfounded that was bit by the bug. Why can't you be confident about liking your girlfriend? Hold on. Let me check what that actually means. He keeps his affection for the girl in question to a minimum when he's with his boys so they don't make fun of him. That's not good.
No, it's not good behavior, especially when she's this loyal, despite the fact that he's broke ass.
And sure, if your friend meets a woman, marries her, and then decides his whole personality is wife guy, that might be irritating in some corners, but still.
Yeah, it also might be inspiring. It might make you like that friend more.
Yeah.
You know, be kind of like something to aspire to.
The word might is incredibly powerful, as befits it being might.
Yeah, it's a mighty word. There's a rich history in the rap community of no wifing in the club. You know, it's not in the community. It's not considered cool to love your girl. You had like 9 songs about how you don't care for every one that you do.
Oh, and no one listens to the one about unless. So isn't that when you're like, shit, we got to get one like R&B hit on this thing so it gets some radio play?
A lot of the time, unless you're Run the Jewels, which sing about eating pussy a whole lot because they're good rappers. After he talks about how he doesn't let his friends know that he's been hit by the bug, he says, this is the Beatles equal to Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah. And by the way, geniuses, that's not the right word.
No.
You put B-Y, not B-U-Y.
Well, it's also worth noting the geniuses didn't even take a run at this.
That's
this has no
wild,
annotation.
Right?
They're like, I don't know what this means. What could this possibly mean?
Every line around this is annotated. We get into the hook, which is just one annotation. But this is the Beatles equal to Can't Buy My Love. No, everyone was like,
Yeah, what does that mean?
And 5 people contributed to this annotation.
They all put 5 geniuses together. The super friends got together and could not get this figured out. Every lyric in this, one of the other things I thought that was interesting about this is that in this community or band, one of the marks of a good woman, in addition to liking you, even if you're broke, is that she comes to your shows all the time.
Even to soundcheck.
Like she really, and like supporting your work is important in a relationship, but like this could just be me telling on myself. If I made liking my work a prerequisite for ladies I've been with, mm-hmm. boy, that wouldn't have gone well for me historically.
Liv that listens to the Everything to Franchise, right?
Liv likes a lot of my work. It's worth noting this is the best relationship I've had in my life, and she is maybe the first.
Okay.
To really do so. So maybe there's a correlation there, and maybe Dumbfounded is correct. And maybe they're the genius and I'm not, because I was incorrect.
You okay? Yeah. That honestly sounded like it cost you a lot.
It did cost me. I kind of caught it halfway through as I was going.
Hey, can I give a shout out to the geniuses?
Yeah, please.
So down in Intuition's verse, we don't believe in cream like other rap singers said. Now, rap singer is already a very awkward phrasing there.
Yeah.
But not being a rap guy, I didn't know they were referring to the Wu-Tang concept of cash rules everything around me with cream. So that annotation actually taught me something.
Dollar dollar bill, y'all.
What?
Where cream's from. Well, yeah, under cream, there on the picture, dollar dollar bill, y'all.
Ah.
That phrase comes from is cream. Cash rules everything around me.
Yeah.
Just make money. You did learn a little bit from this. Also, they'll kiss my ass cheeks. I'll do a toe touch later. He's about to make it big and rich. And when this happens, all the haters can kiss his ass.
Ah, that's what the... Okay, he's going to do the toe touch to make his ass more...
like wider and bigger, more open.
Well, more accessible, certainly. When you think of someone kissing your ass, are you thinking about the ass cheek or the asshole?
Previous to reading this, I was thinking the cheek.
I think the toe touch also makes the ass cheek more accessible.
The ass cheek seems very accessible to me as long as you're not sitting down. To me,
that's true, Gary, because chair there.
You don't have to touch your toes. You can just be standing, and the ass cheek is equally accessible to touching your toes. And touching your toes kind of, spreads you out a bit.
But it also just presents the cheeks.
The cheeks are already presented. Cheeks are just out on Front Street. No genius needed to interpret an ass cheek. It's just right. It's evident.
I think it is easier to kiss someone on the ass cheek if they're doing a toe touch than if they're not.
Well, there's only one way to settle this. The next Duck Fest.
Yep. Looking Science. Forward to it. Ask Dr. Science. He knows more than you do.
Ask Dr. Science. I'm going to say, I'm going to make a pledge to wash when we do that.
That is
You don't have to,
so
but it would be awesome if you did.
Nice. Gary, we should move on to the next song, but I do want to note the delightfulness of No Can Do's verse, which is setting up a negative example and then they having no yelling.
Yeah. You know what? I do like that.
His girl doesn't like him for his money, but No Can Do feels he should leave her. However, the rest's chance, no, because they feel that she's a keeper. Now, are they trying to get a rhyme in the annotation?
I don't know, but they've done it. Like an approximate rhyme. It's great. I would be surprised if this was on purpose because of my contempt for people who call themselves geniuses, but I feel like it's possible. I feel the fact that the other people in the song are cheering him on, I think is kind of sweet.
Well, no, they're trying to correct him of his bad thinking.
Well, you're right. Yeah, not cheer him on. They have his best interest in mind. Is more what
they
I mean.
Really do. I really feel from these lyrics and their annotations that Dumbfounded, No Can Do, and Intuition have each other's backs in like a really sweet way.
I think it's interesting that out of these three verses, the geniuses had the least ability to annotate No Can Do's because it violated the premise.
But also, like Can Do is actually throwing out like references and stuff. Like, this is the part, like, her 12 hours Caltrans with that court-ordered punishment. I don't know what that means.
I think that's a California transportation thing. Okay. I think it's a court-ordered picking up trash on the side of the road. But I'm just guessing.
Gary, get in there and annotate. She said, let's go Dutch like Rotterdam. That I get. I was almost positive K. I hear that old, I got a man. What's positive K mean?
Oh, I got a man. What your man got to do with me? I got a man.
See, this is exactly the sort of thing that should be annotated.
I'm a genius.
And that's our sign off. Song. But I don't. Yeah. Last week when the other guys didn't make me do individual starts and stops or episodes, it was real nice.
Sure.
So we're just going to transition.
Not going to happen as often in the future. The next song is going to be a little song from T-Swift, from Taylor.
Yeah, and this is new. This is from Life of Showgirl. This is the new one.
It was a real Showgirl. The cover from this, I never actually saw because I'm not very plugged into modern music.
Sure. Modern anything, like... really.
That's true. I am playing Resident Evil 9.
That's amazing. That game came out this year, man.
I know. It's pretty crazy. I'm doing it for work. Is she coated in plastic here? It looks like a little bit like she's been sealed in Mylar for... collectors.
No, I think she's supposed to be like in a pool.
Okay, that's supposed to be water?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree it's glossier than water often is. There might be some, they might have put some days go by glycerine in there.
Yeah. There's probably some glycerine in there. Or just like some starch, some corn starch.
Oh, you know? Yeah, she's suspended in oobleck, Gary.
Yeah, she's in a semi-solid thing. She's in Taylor slime, tea slime.
Yeah. Ooh, that had some powerful branding to it.
I know. Tea slime sounds like something because it's a little like tea pain, but it's a tea pleasure. This is another song about love here from the new one. And this is presumably about that football player with the giant cock.
Does he have a big penis is what we feel like is the...
That's what that other song... The one thing I picked up from the new album is that she wrote a song about... about Dick. It might have been called Dick, and it's about his Travis Kelce's gigantic hog.
Okay. I like one Taylor Swift song every decade. Like, I liked Anti-Hero quite a bit from, like, what is now.
Did you like Shake It Off? I like Shake It Off.
Shake It Off's a good song. Yeah. It's a very good pop song.
Really good song. I think it's a great pop song. Me too. I think I like one Taylor Swift song a decade as well. And the rest of them I listen to and I very, very strongly say, I don't fucking get it. Like, this just doesn't sound like anything to me. I know I listen to it, and that's a problem.
That is a real problem. But I assume it doesn't really have any kind of, like, strong melodic hook to it.
I would agree with that. Yeah. This is not, I don't find this song catchy. It's very limp, I think. It is about Travis Kelce, according to the About section.
Well,
Though this song bio is unreviewed, only two geniuses have done it.
We should note that this, you could call this, did we say the name of the song? The song is $le$.
Yes, $.
$.
And according to the About section, these are the contrasts with another Taylor Swift, or another contrast to Taylor Swift. She doesn't want to indulge in opulence.
Did you know Taylor Swift says ass in her songs?
I didn't know that until now. I didn't know she said dick until that one song.
Yeah.
You know, she's dirty. I had no idea. I always thought she was a little more squeaky clean than this, but no, she wants to talk about boning and football, or not football, basketball in the driveway.
Oh, but he is a football player.
He is a football player.
And his brother's a football player, and they're podcasters, and they're more successful than you.
I think that it's probably a big insult to her, to him, that she talks about putting a basketball hoop in the driveway.
Oh, yeah.
Hoop. You know, that's the opposite of what he wants. He wants a football field in the driveway.
So we're into a whole different class of annotator here, because the Taylor Swift people are intense.
Yes.
For instance, I have clicked the third line of this song where she's talking about people who want a fat ass with a baby face.
The dream.
Yeah. The annotation for this. So that's a 8-word line.
Yep.
And two of the words are A.
Yes.
Swift exposes the contradictory and therefore unrealistic expectations placed on women's bodies, expected to have the curvy body of a grown woman whilst also not aging. However, as the pre-chorus suggests that Swift is genuine in her wishes for others to achieve their far-reached dreams, there is an undertone of understanding for women who desire to achieve this. This has 34, while it is unreviewed, it has 34 likes and 5 comments.
Yeah.
Sage Viv says this theme is also represented in her lyric of anti-hero. Sometimes I feel like everybody is a sexy baby.
Did you see that at the bottom of this there's a button that says suggest an improvement to earn IQ?
I,
how do you not have disgust for this?
That was the idea of the IQ. Username here says the ones that always comes in mind with a line like this are the Kardashians, which made their body hourglass shaped and ageless faces as they trademark nobody known in their commercial, notably known in their commercial usage. Kay West and Kim Kardashian has been involved in controversy with Taylor in the past.
Oh,
in
shit.
The documentary Miss Americana, this is a different comment, Swift talks about the unrealistic body standards in society that caused her to have an eating disorder. A+8, this line along with the previous line about Balenciaga sunglasses have got to be a reference to Kim K. Shane Mick 20, this is a possible reference to Travis Kelce's brother Jason, who is known to have both a fat ass and a baby face, and that one's sourced to Instagram.
Oh, I had no idea. So I guess one of the Kelce brothers has a huge dumper. I'm learning a lot from these geniuses. My IQ is going up.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to get, I think you can get some IQ. I mean, Gary, you could improve one of these annotations, get yourself a little IQ, a little spending IQ.
I get yelled at a lot by saying this is a stretch. These are words that rhymed and fit the meter.
Okay.
I think I would be downvoted. You? Oh, I would get downvoted or whatever the equivalent is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could have a very successful career on Genius just coming in and commenting seems like a stretch.
Yeah, a career by which I mean I would be occupied a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I would have a vocation of this.
Do you think you can trade IQ in for money?
I know you can't.
Okay.
First of all, like, that's the premise of the if you're so smart, why aren't you rich episode of Batman the Animated Series.
Gary, I did mean the genius specific karma, not...
No, I think it'd be cool if you could. I don't know.
I jumped onto that grenade so fast.
I know, but with a very specific reference.
You did. It's true.
Yeah. Sorry, biting a nail there. I don't think the genius pays anybody.
What?
I was trying to rip a hangnail off my thing.
Why were you doing that in the middle of talking on our podcast?
I wasn't trying to do it. It just happened. Like, it was a tick. I put my hangnail in my mouth. It's bothering me.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shame. Yeah. 123 contributors on this fucking song, dude.
Yeah, people. It took a legion of sages to figure this shit out. She talks about how people want bullshit. And they should get what they want, but contrasting, all she wants is
driving with a basketball hoop.
With a basketball hoop and a really weird line here. Have a couple of kids, got the whole block looking like you. And that's having a lot of kids.
That's popular. Got the whole... Like, that suggests that her hypothetical football husband is out there also putting babies in the other women in on the block.
Or that they've had so many kids as to create the Swift district of some sort.
Yeah.
And if you look at the annotations for this, unreviewed as well, it shouldn't. I don't know how this has plus 18. Because it just says she's thinking about having kids. It doesn't explain anything about the whole block looking like you.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty big failure for a genius.
Okay, this is a reference. We got to look at the comments, though. You got to look at the comments on the annotation. This is a reference to how Swift wants to have several children with her fiance, Travis Kelce, and she's assuming they all look like him because the Kelce genes are strong, as Swift's future sister-in-law, Kylie Kelce, said on her podcast. They all have podcasts, Gary, and they're all more successful than yours.
They're not. That can't be that much more successful. I never heard of it.
Kylie discussed how all her kids look like her husband, Jason Kelce, Travis's brother, and none of them look like her. This also goes along with the next line. We tell the world to leave us the... She says fucking this, Gary.
I know. But at no point is the whole block accounted for, is my point, even in the comments.
No, hold on. They are left alone. She wants to live with Travis in a remote location where they are left alone. Oh. Hence, the neighborhood would be just them and their family, which is why the whole block would be looking like him. I think that's bullshit. That is not what she is saying there.
I think that's a pretty big stretch because she chose this because it fit the rhyme in the meter.
And because she was dreaming about it. Like, she wants suburbia. That's what driveway with a basketball hoop. And I'm told it's a classic image of middle-class suburbia. And someone put in a picture.
I'm trying to imagine somebody having a driveway with a basketball hoop and they live in a remote block in the middle of nothing. Like, it's very surreal. It's very Tim Burton.
This guy's got to get some sandbags on his basketball hoop or one dunk is going to make that thing tip over. Also, it 100%. Should be higher. He's only got that at like 8 or 9 feet.
It's for practice. Did I tell you I was thinking about getting a basketball hoop on the now that I have a garage that I can do things to? Would you ever want to come shoot hoops? I don't like basketball as a game, and I don't like any of the organized versions of basketball, but I do find throwing a basketball into a hoop kind of satisfying. You know, shoot some hoops, your old man.
Gary, like, is that how I get to spend time with you outside this podcast?
It might be. I'm coming out of my antisocial shell in weird ways. I'm just not convinced that, like, Liv will do it. And there are neighborhood kids I know would do it, but I don't. That's weird.
Like,
I don't want a whole block of kids dunking on me.
Buddy, I grew up in rural Indiana. I played basketball my entire childhood. Shit. I love basketball. Like, some of my favorite, like, high school memories are playing driveway basketball with people.
Well...
But
in that case, I should be careful because you'd be
fitting
really good.
You into
me.
That is very, very, very difficult.
Yeah, this is a confusing mindset we've come up with. This is we've conjured a Tron mind palace that I find confusing thinking about it now. I did not account for you being really good and really big into basketball.
Not good. Just enjoy it.
Okay.
But like
good on a curve.
As,
I'm pretty bad at basketball.
As someone who invites you like every other week to share a meal with him, a thing you're having to do to stay alive 3 times a day.
Hey, okay. Don't make me feel bad about this. I've been going through a mental health thing. I'm not feeling super social right now. I need to be ashamed about this.
Gary, I apologize. I didn't mean to make you feel ashamed.
It's okay. It's just, I'm aware, but I feel an immense amount of guilt around all of that.
Okay.
Naturally. It's just a weird thing my brain's doing right now. I'm working on my meds, trying to figure it out.
Without shaming you, I will say that the jump from our current reality to getting a text from you saying, hey, you want to come shoot some hoops?
It's
the idea that the basketball hoop is what was missing in the equation is exciting.
They call it the magic circle because the hoop contains both of us. I don't know. I kind of like this idea of a basketball hoop in the driveway. I have a ladder. The house came with a ladder. I could do it probably.
Yeah, so you are much like Taylor Swift in this regard.
Out of the two of us, I'd say I'm the most like Taylor Swift of the two of us. Would you agree with that? Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree, yes.
Yeah. As a musician and as somebody who has a garage.
Homeowner?
Homeowner. She's a homeowner. Obsessed with Travis Kelce's hog.
I made wishes on all of the stars. Please, God, bring me a best friend who I think is hot.
Is that one of these lines?
It's down in the bridge.
There are too many verses and bridges in the song. I will say that.
Oh yeah, this is insane. It's a lot.
But the premise of this song did not need this many words. I would cut this in half, Taylor.
Who's gonna tell her to cut a lyric at this point?
Travis Kelce.
Ooh. Do you think he's listened to any of her songs?
I bet she's never listened to fucking song one. I bet she has like little discreet earbuds when he goes to the concerts.
Yeah.
And listens to the game.
Yeah. It's just him sports. Playing.
Yeah. It's audio commentary of other games he's done.
Hey babe, you heard this Huey Lewis album?
It's called Sports. I thought it was about something else.
Am I a Patrick Warburton character?
Taylor. Taylor Swift. Hey Taylor. Hey baby. So she wants this hoop. That's the kind of the end. And she likes him. She wants an entire block full of, babies born out of wedlock.
Gary, great news. We're geniuses.
We have become we have out-geniused the genius, which introduces our famous segment, Geniuses at Work, where we go behind the scenes talking about how we have annotated the hits.
Yeah, but we haven't, so.
This is an annotation.
I was just doing the weird geniuses because that's how we transitioned from the first song.
Oh, yeah. We're geniuses.
Gary, what funny things do you have to say about Tupac Shakur and his work? What little fun jokes do you have about murdered?
As soon as I get home?
Yeah.
By producer JD3? Nothing. This is a good song.
Okay.
Tupac is good, and this song is good, and it was a real breath of fresh air going through these songs. This is from after he died. This is an unreleased song, you know, from the sessions for All Eyes on Me.
There were a lot of unreleased Tupac songs, right?
Yes, and some of which I want to say are of questionable provenance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that there's some, like, you get into some Lovecraft, August Derleth shit, like, people finishing barely, you know, started ideas.
Gary, I have great news. I just got a little notification. That's the mm-hmm. first time anyone's ever compared posthumous Tupac lyrics to August Derleth.
August Derleth's work on Lovecraft's Unfinished Notes. This is what I bring to the geniuses. This is, if I'm trying out for the team, if this podcast is my resume, I feel like that is exhibit one in the resume, like how exhibits have and how resumes have.
Gary, how has there not been like an Arkham Horror thing called The Kingpin in Yellow?
It's a good question. Because Arkham Horror does take place in the 20s.
Yeah, no, there's mobsters there.
Yeah, there's lots of mobsters. Fuck. Yeah, no, that does seem like a real slam dunk. Shit, so I don't know.
There's a lot of lyrics here and we can't talk about most of them because they're not actually annotated.
Yeah, some of them are, and I think this is because it is an unreleased track. My main thing that I think about this that I could make fun of Tupac if I wanted to a little bit is I do think this cover is very funny. It's saying Tupac's life with this picture of him in like a, you know, tuxedo considering.
No, I'm pretty sure he didn't pick the cover on this one.
He might have. Ouija boards.
Ouija boards.
Ouija board. Tupac Ouija board.
Ding, Clever ding, Hans ding, ding, ding. Ouija board?
Clever Hans Ouija board. Tupac. No Clever Hans. That's the future. Don't use your gift that way.
Oh, okay, but he did accurately say how many pock it was.
Yes. He could clomp the pox.
Clomp the pox.
Clomp the pox. That's Clever Hans. He clomps the pox, as all horses from German he can do.
All of this is English and all of it is words.
All of it is words. This is a good song. I don't know. I listened to this again, Violation. Yeah. I thought this was pretty good. I like Tupac and I love this era of rap production. Death Row era rap production. I think it all sounds great.
I learned that he started a war, but now he's gone. Tupac started a movement that ended in a violent street war, but now he is locked behind bars because he was responsible for starting a war. Comment, no, it means he started a riot in jail, as he said a couple lines before, but he's about to be released in the morning.
Yeah.
Hot yeah. fights going on. Osher Picado is here to set things right.
Well, the thing is, whoever annotates all of Tupac's lyrics correctly is heir to the Tupac fortune. There's like, it's kind of like Dunkelzahn's will. It's like but slightly, you know, more specific. If you could understand everything Tupac said, you get his secret, like, giant doubloon. He buried it in one gigantic piece. And you get it if you can do all of it.
Gary, so they're trying to, do that.
I did. Yeah. Maybe we want to get together, shoot some hoops, and talk anime.
Yeah, no, we can talk about how Netflix is releasing this season of JoJo's all weird.
I'm not real. Not JoJo's. It's the other, the stupid one with the Luffy.
No, I was saying a different anime thing.
Oh, gotcha.
This season of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is getting released all weird.
Ah, I see. Because I knew that the Netflix is doing another one with the dumb kid.
You don't care for Luffy D. Luffy D. Monkey?
I know. It's the thing that makes me not like able to do that. If I like, I gave that a little bit of a shot because back in the day, before Bob Mackie was like, oh, this is like, you know, my favorite like superhero media. If you like superheroes, this is basically that. And this is kind of before I understood that he didn't like superheroes really.
Mm-hmm.
So I read the first bit of the manga there, and I don't like that archetype. The little idiot kid at the center of an anime is really bothersome to me. I can't handle it.
I'm not trying to sell you on shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The live action one, just by dint of making an actual human being embody those emotions and say those words, gets a little bit more tolerable.
I can believe that. Because a lot of what's
real charismatic.
A lot of what's really annoying about the character looking at him is his big stupid faces.
Yeah.
That you can only do in animation. Like his big dumb like protean smiles.
He's still saying a lot of pretty dumb power of friendship stuff, but just that a human being has to say it with their mouth and face.
Yeah.
Makes it a little bit more.
Had me my druthers, they just wouldn't have that character.
The main character like, we wouldn't of the have, whole thing?
Yeah. Like, you would just do the premise and all the surrounding stuff, but you wouldn't have a little idiot saying things about the power of friendship.
I think there might be a sense that kids wouldn't like that and it would be insanely grim because most of the characters in One Piece are psychopaths.
Do it as Berserk.
So once again, we've just gotten back to why can't this be Guts?
Yeah, if it was Guts, but with the cast and premise of One Piece into it. Gotta have Guts.
Gary, you remember that time you got mad at me for saying Mo Quirk? Was an attractive woman because you thought I was talking, you thought she was like 14.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize her age. I'm bad at telling women's ages and it almost always works in a non-gross way.
Yeah.
Like
no.
I think a young girl is way too old. So I don't, or a old girl is way too young. So I'm like,
There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. So it's never like the other way around. I'm just like, women just look young to me. My, true
it's
story.
It's statutory caution.
I have a statutory soul. True story, my bad ex, my last ex, I ended up like slowly going on, you know, went on a date with her and stuff and like checked with our mutual friends and everything. And she's like, why didn't you come talk to me at that party? And she'd say that and I'd be like, because I wasn't sure if you were like 20. Yeah. And it sounded like a line, but I actually meant it. It's like, I just don't know how to read ages on ladies.
Yeah. That would be funny as a line. Cause be like, yeah, you looked 14.
Yeah. That's because I wasn't sure if you were a baby at this party.
I didn't know if you were trying if you were what we call jailbait.
Yeah. Barely illegal.
Is it
the,
have you ever read those Mark Wade, that fucking Irredeemable or whatever?
I did.
Where so you got the bad Superman, because everybody got to write a bad Superman.
Yeah.
And then you got the other ones, like the counter one, where it's a villain making good, except his sidekick is like a 17-year-old girl named Jailbait.
His sidekick is a 17-year-old girl named Jailbait, which is very difficult.
It's conceptually quite tough.
He becomes more Superman the longer he stays awake.
Yeah.
So it's like, what if Superman was tired all the time?
And like cranky.
Yeah, it's a weird decision. It's a weird premise. Like the idea of a superhero who is only efficacious when he's really bad at making decisions because of sleep deprivation is kind of funny.
That's a decent kind of Mark Wade kind of idea.
Yeah, it's played very seriously in that comic. I read those because they go down smooth.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I can't recommend them. But they do go down smooth. I'm not as against an evil Superman as much as you are. I understand. I've read your argument about it, but I'm not as against it.
Seen it a lot at this point.
I've seen it a lot too. I 100% agree that it is a tired deconstruction.
I am kind of like, I don't always agree with everything James Gunn says, but I do think at this point just presenting a dude who is trying his best and does good with massive power is now kind of radical.
Yeah, it's the reconstruction. We're on the reconstruction end of the pendulum. Like, I agree with that. The idea of an evil Superman is scary to me. It's not like I think it's that good of a comic, but it's, you know, it'll make a turd. You know, that old parlance, like, I'll read it, and it'll make hours there in front of me go behind me in a way that is reasonably entertaining. It's not like something I think is good.
When I talk about playing JRPGs.
That's because they don't have content in them. It's the fights all being the same. The thing with reading Irredeemable is you read new words on every page. There's nothing new.
I'm reading new words when I'm playing a Dragon Quest VIII or a Dragon Quest VII or whatever. I'm reading
sometimes
1,000 damage, 500 damage.
I bet you do the same amount of damage a bunch of times.
Now that's an interesting idea. An RPG where you can only do each amount of damage once.
That is an interesting idea. And you'd have to have some kind of choice over it. Which one you'd use, it'd be like a tabletop systems I've seen where you deploy playing cards. So the thing is you have to save your powerful stuff. It's like when you want it, you're using the minimal power for something. That is interesting.
Welcome to Everything to Deadlands, where we talk about the Grifter class.
Yeah. Because it's interesting, no one will ever do it.
Sorry.
I'm a genius! We had to get to the finale. I didn't want to give this short shrift.
You're absolutely right, Gary. We don't want to shrift to this.
This is the best song on this podcast.
So Gary, what song are we talking about? Yeah. I'll go ahead and say this one's by our friend Christopher Nolan, and this is the Dark Knight final scene.
And he's joined by musical collaborators, Gary Oldman, Christian Bale, and one more.
Yeah. Whoever played the little kid,
I think. The kid. He didn't do anything wrong. And this is on the Dark Knight soundtrack.
I don't think it is. I think someone just geniused a movie scene.
It says track 5 on the Dark Knight.
I think they're lying.
You think they're lying? So if you look at the Dark Knight, Christopher Nolan, if you look at the cover of this, it has the aspect ratio of a CD.
I think that's because that's what genius is. I think this is a movie poster that has been cropped into a square aspect ratio.
That could be the case. 100%.
The release date is the day that The Dark Knight, the movie, came out.
Which would be the soundtrack as well.
Not usually.
Not necessarily, but
not
certainly
usually.
Can be.
Not
certainly
usually.
Can be. Certainly
Gary,
can be.
Usually the soundtrack album comes out a week before or a week after. It does not usually come out the same day because you don't want people buying both.
Within the world of the universe, it is a possibility of reality.
Now,
one thing I'd like you to grant is if you look at the track names for this, they're very funny.
They are. I think this is things that people, because I'm looking now at the Dark Knight soundtrack,
yeah,
for instance, mentions Hans Zimmer.
Okay.
And not just and the actors from The Dark Knight. And also, the track listing on it is songs that are in the movie The Dark Knight.
How, very, very few lyrics of this represent, you know, talk about Hans Zimmer. But if you look down at the thing, I just want to mention here.
Yeah.
Look down at the names of these songs. These are really good.
They are, yeah.
The Dark Knight, Wanna Know How I Got Him? Parentheses, Scars.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight, Reunion des Mafios de Gotham.
Yeah, a bunch Perfect. Of these, they put them in French? La Interrogatoire. let me check. Is this, in fact, the scene? No, this is the scene in French.
Oh.
This is the...
Le Joker. Ah, la technique du marchand et du gentil flic.
Le Joker?
the James Gordon, Passe cette montre. This is perfect.
So
this is, I would like to give this, you get to see the word Cicero in a French accent. This, sure. This I actually do think warrants geniushood. I would like to ascribe a lot of IQ to the person who put this up.
Yeah. So I do believe someone has just decided to put some movie scenes from The Dark Knight into Genius, and then people have annotated them.
And it is a famously extremely difficult movie to understand.
It's very complicated. The whole time I'm just like, where is the detonator?
Yeah. And you have to have a little circle on the screen that shows you where it's at. I had a thing when I had a moment when I rewatched the scene, huge violation of, so I'll admit it. It's not cool to admit. I liked this movie a lot when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really good. I still probably, if I watched it now, I'd probably still think it was watchable. You know, like the time, the world has turned against the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. I get it. But I still think they're probably pretty watchable and fine. And watching the scene again, we all made fun of the Batman voice when this happened. I'm kind of surprised it wasn't like a Vorpal flaw. It's so unrelentingly silly to see it.
It's very silly. It is.
What an incredible fucking choice.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's an answer to the question: why doesn't anyone just know this is fucking famous Gothamite Bruce Wayne?
Yeah,
but
because he's and we can all
he's
do
talking
that to make
like
our
this.
Voice. And it's so different than the Keith Ledger. Heath Ledger made a choice with his voice as well.
Sure.
And Bane, obviously, famously. And I think both those choices are actually pretty smart. I like Bane's weird, lilting kind of gentleman voice. I think it's a really fun subversion, puts you on edge.
Yeah.
In that movie, like, you know, kind of knocks you off balance.
Tom Hardy, a fine performer.
Perfectly good performer. This choice does not do that to you. It's just bad and stupid. And we all, like, people were losing their fucking minds about this movie. Not just, you know, me who liked it, but everyone.
Yeah.
It's bad to admit it now, but everybody fucking loved this and thought it was really good. AV Club gave it, like, an A+. Like, everybody loved it. It sticks out in my head as a cultural moment.
Why are you throwing that at? Why are you talking about my work?
Because it's a review that I remember. There's a line I remember, because you remember random shit. Has the unapologetic complexity of a crime novel. Is the line from that review. I don't know why that stuck in my head, but it's been there since 2008.
Yeah, that's a Keith Phipps. For the record, we do not give out A+.
Okay, maybe an A.
It was an A. I'm looking at it right now. It's a Keith Phipps review.
Fine review.
What?
It was a fine review. I'm not bagging the review.
Why are you attacking
I'm just saying,
my work?
I'm not attacking your work. I'm trying to say that your work is part of this cultural zeitgeist as much as the average perspective right now would want to remove themselves from this cultural zeitgeist as much as they possibly can.
I'm just trying to understand out of how fashion you feel cultural. Like it's good to drag me down right now.
Now. First of all, it's Keith Phipps who's my enemy, not you.
Okay, but I'm now the longest tenured employee of the AV Club, so like any attack on the AV Club is an attack on me.
Not for people who are gone.
But that's I'm the one who's still here.
No,
I'm
when
the
a
dad
ship
who
sends out,
up.
When a ship sends out chaff.
Yeah.
It's so I can attack the chaff, but the chaff is no longer part of the ship.
Am I the chaff?
Keith Phipps is chaff to you.
Am I chaff?
No, you're the fucking ship. Keith Phipps is the chaff. He no longer works there. You are the ship. You just said you're the ship. You are the AV Club.
I look at a lot of the stuff I write, and I think I'm writing chaff. I feel like I might be the chaff here.
No, you're not the chaff. unless the ship is made of, why don't they build the whole ship out of chaff?
Exactly. Can't even shoot it. Gary, it's my birthday in 2 weeks. Can you not fuck with me like this?
I have a Christmas gift for you still. That I might just roll on into birthday.
Sure.
At this point. I haven't been feeling like socializing. My brain's been not good.
But Gary, you did send me, we of course are going to talk about this amazing final scene from The Dark Knight, a solid B movie with an A that is buoyed up by an A performance.
And an A review from the AV Club.
Fucking hell, dude. You did invite me out to something on my birthday.
Yes.
I'm on the Modridge. This isn't even on the Modridge. I got a Bandcamp notification from Modridge today, yeah. But I'm also on the Friends of Gary email blast about Modridge stuff, right?
Yep. Exclusive email.
And I spent a long time thinking about how to talk about this email on here because I did not want to engage in hyperbole, right?
Okay.
I wanted to be really honest with you and not like, because what you did was you invited me to a 420 themed house party at a stranger's house to see your band play.
Yeah. Now, to my credit.
Yeah.
I think in the email, I do acknowledge that this isn't something that anyone would want to do.
You do. Although you do, I'll say, try to put a positive spin on it.
I don't know how to send out a notification my band is playing without putting a positive spin on it. It feels like that's the point of sending the email at all. If I just didn't want people to go, I wouldn't tell you about it.
No, I understand.
So the conflict of me wanting people to go and understanding that if somebody invited me to this, I'd be pretty put off, is essential to the tension of this show.
There are
we're going to use it musically.
I'm looking at this email right now, and I am counting the number of different discrete pitches you are trying to make here.
I take a lot of tacks because it's I had to bring my full force of my genius against this kind of thing because it's this horrible idea.
May I read a line from this?
Yeah, of course.
Also, maybe you're thinking you want to meet adults for possible new friends. How the fuck do any of us meet people these days? The answer is we don't, but this party supposes maybe we could. After I got this email, which I will say I have not replied to.
You did. No, you told me very politely. You didn't reply to the email. You replied in chat.
Yes, politely, I replied in chat.
Yeah, and it was polite.
Because the initial thought I had was, I'd rather have my head sawed off than come to this.
Yeah.
And that's not true, Gary.
No, that's pretty extreme.
To this 420 party on my birthday at a stranger's house.
Yep. Each thing makes it worse, which I like. It's kind of a nice combination of words. It's like a reverse cellar door where like each part gets less beautiful.
Sorry, I'm looking at the flyer right now that just has no kids, all caps at the bottom.
No kids, all kids. And has the band from last year playing that's not actually playing.
That is,
because they just copied it.
Yeah.
No, I bet you I'm going to have a fun time. I'm doing it as kind of I'm going to do this show the same way that I would go to like a Tulip Fest.
Yeah. It's an experience.
As a novel. What's it like at 45 years old to go to a stranger's 420 party and play a basement show? This thing that was a big part of my life in my mid 20s. Do I throw my back out and I'm never able to do anything again? Mm-hmm. Is it kind of fun? Do I feel like, oh, you can't go home again? This wasn't very good. What does this do to me? For me, there's a lot of experimental appeal because I happen to be playing the show. If I was just invited to go to it, I'd probably not do it.
What I came to eventually, because it wasn't the head chop off thing, right? Because I don't want to die. I'd rather go support you than die.
I appreciate that. And there's a pizza window at this thing, and you get pizza to put in your head.
I don't think I was even told about the pizza window.
It's on the flyer.
Oh, it is. Late night pizza window. Shit.
Yeah.
Wait, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Old school video games. Oh man.
Yeah. They're all people our age, so they have the same nostalgia as we do.
Sure.
So I'm sure there's like a Nintendo setup with like Tecmo, you know, for people to play. Like it's not going to be the youngs doing young people shit. It's going to be the old doing old people shit. And then people talking in the kitchen about their kids. And then us playing in the basement to like the six people who don't want to be upstairs playing Tecmo and talking about their kids.
I eventually came to was, instead of doing that, I would rather drink a like a cough syrup cup's worth of slightly below room temperature human piss.
That's still pretty intense.
It's, I know, but it, I like,
slightly
if you put
below room temperature,
if you put, you have to go and spend at least 2 hours at this 420 party on your birthday,
or chug the piss,
or drink this relatively small amount of human beings' piss. And it's not warm. If it was warm, I wouldn't do it.
Okay, that's the okay, that makes a difference. The,
cuz don't you hate the feeling when you've taken a piss sample? Don't you hate that particular warmth?
Oh god, like carrying the warm cup out and being like, "I'm sorry, it's warm. It just came from my body." Like,
well, you put it in the window. Your places not have the little window?
There's not a window. There's a little tray. It's kind of like a take a urine, leave a urine tray. At the places where I do it?
See, where I do it, there's a little, like a little sealed window that is, it's metal. They make sure it's metal.
Oh, that's pretty sick. It's secure.
Yeah, so no one has to look at the piss.
The Joker and all of his clown goons can't do a heist on it.
But the Joker cannot win. Hold on. The Joker tried to prove that even the city's best man, Dent, who was perceived to be Gotham's White Knight, could be driven to madness, corruption, and evil by Batman taking responsibility for the deaths and violence attributed to Dent. He prevents the Joker's plan from being known to the public, thus foiling it to some extent. The truth about this cover-up is revealed in the final film of the trilogy, The Dark Knight Rises.
It's true. This is true. I also like how the script has the Batman lurches between shipping containers.
That is.
Lurches being
I do
cops.
Wonder if that is taken from the script. I imagine not.
It's very funny if it was. Yeah, poor Batman. I don't think I'd rather drink piss than go to this if I was going to somebody else's, but I might be more piss adverse.
But you and more party friendly.
Yeah, probably a little bit more 420 friendly.
Because I went to no basement parties in my 20s and teens. Yeah,
I get that. You have no nostalgia for it. 100%. I completely understand you not going. Did not expect you to go and have no feelings about it one way or another.
Still sent the email.
Say what?
Nothing.
The email says I don't have any feelings as well.
No, but you still sent the email is what I was saying.
Oh, yeah. I was going to give you the... Well, how weird would it be if I sent it to everyone I knew except for you? And you just found out would you find... Sincerely, I guess I'm asking it sincerely. It sounded like a rhetorical question at first. Would you have appreciated that I just knew you wouldn't go and omitted you from this?
I think some level, yes, but also I don't want that to be on you. If I'm bringing actual real will feelings into this, you're good to have sent it.
I felt like giving you the choice was the right thing to do.
Sure.
Since I was honest in my heart that I didn't mind if you didn't.
It was certainly the most funny thing to do.
If I sincerely wanted you to go, knew you wouldn't go, or like sincerely would have feelings if you didn't go, but knew you didn't want to and then sent you the email, I think that would be on me. That would be a manipulative tactic.
But if you sent me an email that said, hey, it would really mean a lot to me if you came to this, I would be there, right?
Yeah. Well, and like I'm going to do when we have a record release show, like two weeks after the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that sort of Damocles is hanging over us all, but that's at a public bar. It'll be fine.
It's going to be so brutal. It's going to be so brutal for everyone.
It's going to be brutal. There's three bands at that one.
I know. Are you going on
and I think
first?
We're playing last.
Playing last?
It's our record release show.
Shit.
Yeah. Would you rather drink a cup of piss?
That message was like, I think the first band is starting at, you're making me do like set list math. I have to go like check these other people to figure out how long they usually play.
And we don't play very long, but the other people are fucking absolute X factors. Like Modric plays for a half hour. We're in, we're out. Like these other bands though, I have no idea. They might just play one song that lasts like 50 minutes. It might be excruciating even for me, but because it's our record release show, I had to smile and nod. And then I had to go up to him afterwards and be like, that was really cool, man. That's interesting.
I, as someone who watches, like, I know we're going a little over, but as someone who watches who has been to quite a number of your shows, watching you do that part is very funny.
It's funny to me too. It's something I learned to do when I was in a band in my 20s.
Yeah.
I used to be more of a little shit.
Oh, improv people do it too. Improv people do it too. Yeah. If everybody's got a show. Yeah, great show. Really funny, man.
Yeah, you have to. It's just play. And it's also a thing, if nobody does it to me, I also feel a little bit like, come on, you're not doing the contract.
Yeah.
Like, I did this. I didn't get paid money. I got paid 2 drink tickets I won't use. But I also, implied to be paid, like, 6 strangers coming up to me and being like, hey, man, that was really cool.
Yeah.
You know,
And best case scenario for me, we've told the story before, but it's like, I think the last Motorhead show I went to where the band opening for you had a much bigger following and a much younger following, and they were all dancing like crazy. And then when they left the stage, everybody cleared out. And then the only person who danced was one weird, sad barfly who stood in the middle of the room and just kind of gyrated to make you. And it was pity dancing. The barfly was pitying you.
Yeah, it was not a great scene. And
it was, you know, the best scene. It was the best. It's burned into my, this one like 60-year-old woman just kind of grooving a little bit because she felt so bad that no one was dancing to your music.
Bless her. And you know, not everybody cleared out. Many people cleared out. And it's also, I want to throw this out there, I liked my band a lot. I'm not trying to self-deprecate about it. It's just not going to move people. It's not that kind of shit.
I mean, Gary, we've talked about this before. It will for like a stanza, and then you decide it's time for a fucking time change because you have some Will Hughes impulses when it comes to music.
I am a little imp. I do write songs that are just pop songs sometimes too.
Yeah.
And Andrew does that.
Yeah.
So I would say roughly 2/3 of the songs don't have dumb time change structure stuff. But people, it just takes one of those for people just to disinvest and be like, fuck this shit. I'm aiming for people to sit down and listen and be like, huh, this is interesting. I'm not aiming to make people laugh. I'm aiming to make people go, you know, that's funny.
Oh my God. That's really,
when it comes to music.
Yeah. That's what you're waiting, is someone to come and go, that was really clever.
That was good. Yeah, that was good. I didn't move. I didn't have an emotional reaction to that at all, but intellectually I understand that that was interesting. That's all I want out of my art. It's not a good behavior. But luckily, my brothers in music are the same.
Speaking of Gary, if people enjoy this show, The Pivot Presents Everything to Genius.
Mm-hmm. Go on Genius and add all of Modridge's new album, Premier Modridge.
Is Modridge on there?
See if you can figure out what we're talking about. That would actually make me feel real weird. You can also go to modridge.bandcamp and pre-order the record, which will be in our hot little hands in time for our release show. So end of April is when that's coming out. So you'll actually have a vinyl if you want it.
Cape Cod is in Massachusetts, I think.
It is from our record, our EP Euro Stuff, available on cassette tape, lime green cassette tape.
Why did you name it Euro Stuff?
I could get into a whole thing about what it's like.
I don't want to.
Things
actually,
with these guys.
Gary, I don't want to read this one. Let's see. Here's a better one by the great Gupsby. Instead, I ate too much and now my tummy hurts. And that's a 5-star review of my favorite restaurant. It's a 3-star review, though, Gary. I'm kind of mad I had to read this whole shtick. People aren't submitting enough reviews, so I'm resorting to reading the under 5-star ones now. Everyone listening right now, why don't you go and tell us your favorite cheese, 5 stars? And that was a 5-star review.
Thank you. I enjoyed being confused by that because I'm a genius!
Also, Cutthroat Kitchen was pretty fun. Galloping Ghost was my favorite one. Now the song's gonna end, so I'm done. Everything to Gengar, Gengar, Gengar.